Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to NaNoWriMo Every Month. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 20 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and other things, and I am your guide on this journey to use NaNoWriMo to level up to professional output levels. Welcome to The Questions, Episode 139. Today, Kane asks, I'm co-writing. Assuming it's a success, what kind of legal stuff needs to be worked out, and when should it be finalized? Well, Kane, here are the basics. First of all, unless there's an agreement to the contrary, copyright law, at least last time I read this part of it, stipulates that a co-authored piece is owned jointly by both parties, and each party is entitled to 50% of all royalties in the absence of another agreement. And in the absence of another agreement, either party can publish it on their own, and which, of course, creates numerous opportunities for mischief. The Copyright Handbook, the current edition, has the latest and greatest on how co-authoring works. Now, bearing in mind that I am not a lawyer and don't pretend to be one and am largely self-taught on all this stuff, so am prone to making numerous egregious errors, and you should not take my advice without consulting an attorney who is licensed and a specialist in the field of intellectual property. Here are the basics for a co-author agreement, as far as I understand them, and you really should have this agreement in writing before you get started writing. The agreement should specify who owns what. Not just the percentage split, but if you're building a world together and you're creating characters together that might be useful for sequels, who has the rights to use those going forward? Do only you have it? Does your partner only have it? Do each of you have different pieces? Or do you both have the right to use them as you see fit, and if you part ways, to fork the world and the series into two separate branches, like frequently happens in the Marvel Universe and other large shared world intellectual properties. Number two, who controls the property, i.e. who has authority to publish and make licensing deals and such, and who controls the money? This is essential, and it should rest with one of you, not with both of you. Someone has to be able to make the decision. It's much easier if one person can sign the contract with outside parties. And this is entire control of the legal rights of the property. This is not just the right to publish the book on KDP and CreateSpace and Barnes & Noble and Kobo and all of those. These would include signing authority for if Hollywood comes knocking, or if you have the opportunity to develop a game that spins off of, or exercising any of the ancillary rights, even creating an audiobook. Who controls the property should be clearly spelled out in the agreement. And who controls the money? How that money is going to flow in? Now, the money is probably going to flow through whoever has legal control of the property. So you'll also want to make sure you've got a mechanism to verify in case of a dispute, and a mechanism to resolve disputes in case there's an argument over the money or the rights later on down the line. Number three, who gets what percentage of the royalties? This is not necessarily the same question as number one about who owns what. You can own something and not get the lion's share of the money for it. You can divvy this up any way you want. You could even leave it blank with a stipulation in the contract that this has to be filled in at the end of the writing process if you're worried about who put what work in. Though that can get sticky, and in my experience, agreements that leave terms to be determined after the work is done tend to get forgotten by both parties, and the issue never gets resolved unless and until there's a dispute, at which case the fact that it was never resolved becomes a problem. Number four, what, if any, expenses are expensable to the project, and how those expenses shall be accounted, and what audit rights the non-controlling party has. So, if, for example, the controlling party decides to pay $300 to a cover designer to design the cover, is that coming out of his pocket? Or can he bill that against the project and take that $300 back off the top of the royalties before he starts paying the other party? There's all sorts of opportunities for expenses in the publishing game. Printing costs, shipping costs, all sorts of fun stuff. You need to decide up front what kinds of expenses are allowable to be billed at the project and what kind aren't. This is not something you want to be arguing about in the middle of a dispute over money. That's how friendships get ruined. And the non-controlling party should be clear on what audit rights he has in order to hold the controlling party accountable. And I recommend some very transparent accounting setups, like the right to see the books on demand on 7 days or 14 days notice, unless someone's out of the country, in which case 7 days or 14 days after they get back into the country or something like that. You want to make it reasonable so that the exigencies of life won't accidentally throw you into breach, but you also want to make sure that you've got maximum transparency, because transparency and accountability are the stuff of trust, and they preserve good relationships. Number 5. Payment schedules and penalties. How soon after the controlling party gets the money does he have to pass the share due on to his co-author? And if he is late, how much does he have to pay in the way of a late fee? This should be set out in the contract. And number 6. Jurisdictions and procedures for resolving disputes. The contract needs to be governed by the laws of a particular state or a particular country, if you're not in the United States. You should pick a jurisdiction where one or both of you live and where you know the law, or where you can easily find the law. Because though it will involve copyright, the disputes are going to be about the terms of the contract, and that's down to contract law, which in the United States is a state-by-state matter, not a federal matter. So you want to have that laid out, because if there is a dispute on a point of law, you want to know what law books to look up. And if you ever have to, God forbid, file suit, you need to know what state you're going to have standing in. Procedures for resolving disputes, these can be as simple as whatever legal remedies are available. That's code word for lawsuits. You could require non-binding arbitration. You could require binding arbitration. You could do something as simple as a coin flip or a dice toss in the event of an argument over what should happen where one party is trying to stand in the way of a strategic move that the other party wants to make and there's a deadlock. That's particularly important if you have set up so that everything needs to be done by consensus rather than one party having the controlling vote. I would also check around online or with lawyers for good sample agreements. I've seen a few floating around. They're worth looking at boilerplates and modifying them to your purposes. The way things are worded is important, and the wording you choose can change the meaning of a contract in a court when it doesn't appear to by a plain language reading. And this, of course, varies by state. So it's always a good idea, once you've drawn your agreement up, to run it by a good lawyer, particularly a good lawyer specializing in publishing or intellectual property. Thank you for the question. I hope that helps, and I'll see you tomorrow. NaNoWriMo Every Month is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at NaNoWriMoEveryMonth.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. NaNoWriMo Every Month is copyright 2016 by J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions and is released under a Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution No Derivatives License.